For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've heard the take. I've seen the takes out there that are say they're disappointed or discouraged by the Knicks' performance. For me, there was none of that. It was a basketball game. There are ebbs and flows of the basketball game. Was it concerning being down going into the fourth quarter or early in the fourth quarter? Sure, but it's a series, a long series. Even if the Knicks were to lose, it would have been disappointing and maybe alarming. But that happens throughout the course of a series. So I wasn't going too nuts either way, but to see the way that it turned out, where the Knicks really showed the disparity between them and the Pistons. You don't go on that type of run in the fourth quarter if you aren't significantly better than your opponent, and the Knicks are. And maybe the more important thing in the game, one that we saw on Saturday night, was the defensive intensity. We know Ananobi's got it. We've seen Bridges now dialed up a little bit. In general, I mean, Towns just is not that type of player, but in general, the Knicks' defense was far better than what we saw for the majority of the regular season. One thing that I was disappointed with, but I understand why, I don't think we saw enough Mitchell Robinson. He only played, what, 18 minutes in the game? I wanted more Mitchell Robinson, but they had to stick with campaign. And BT and I had this conversation last week about Tom Thibodeau. And one of the things BT was saying that was against Tibbs was that he doesn't have a feel and doesn't just go based on what he's seeing in front of him enough. Well, I thought he did that to perfection in game one, leaving in campaign, who could not miss. I mean, that dude was on fire. It was great to see campaign, who's got that attitude. You know, he's the bench player that you want, would have fit right in on the 90s Knicks, which to me is the greatest compliment you could pay a player, a current day player. So campaign had a huge game. You know, Brunson obviously does his thing after a little bit of a slow start. He got going, as I mentioned before. You know, Bridges had his impact. We know what OG Ananobi's going to do. Karl Anthony Towns, his offensive game is second to none. I mean, for a big, he can light it up from wherever on the floor. There was enough there. Defensively, though, that's the number one thing for me. And the fact that the Knicks could tighten things up and go on that type of run that they needed to pull away from Detroit. Not only did they go on a run to get back in the game, I mean, they pulled away. They pulled away from the Pistons. That shows you the disparity. So I don't get, I had this question posed to me last night on Sports Night for SNY. Oh, more encouraged or discouraged? No, no, there is no discouragement here. I don't get the people that could be discouraged or concerned after that game won. The Pistons gave you their best shot from the beginning. Knicks slowed down Cade Cunningham. I don't think Tobias Harris is going to shoot the way that he did in game one. He's just not that good anymore. And if he's going to beat you, so be it. You tip your cap, let him beat you. Beasley would be the one guy that concerns me. But think about where we are in contrast to a year ago, where it was Embiid, Maxey. I mean, those guys were dangerous. Those guys, to me, were scary, and they had a little bit of a pedigree. I'm not trying to minimize Detroit. I respect their toughness. I love Beasley. I wish he was a Knick. But I'm not worried about the Pistons at all. I wasn't worried about them going in. I said Knicks in five, and I feel better about that after game one. If the Pistons were going to win this series, think about it from their perspective. They had the Knicks right where they wanted them. A lead going into the fourth quarter, down 7-8, whatever it was before that run that the Knicks went on the road in game one, a chance to steal one and steal the momentum and maybe put a little doubt in the Knicks, and they couldn't do it. So from their perspective, I think they got to be exhausted. They can talk about, oh, we're as confident as ever, and we feel as good as ever. I'm not buying it. I think, if anything, the Knicks come away more confident in knowing that we got them. We struggled for three quarters, you know, a little bit of a back and forth, whatever, still trying to find our way here, get acclimated as a group in their first postseason game together, and then go out there and go on that monster run. You know the Garden's going to be electric during the postseason. That's just how it is. So it's going to be a great home court advantage. Knicks feeding off of that. Josh Hart front and center as it pertains to that. I'm not worried at all about this first round. Not looking ahead to the second round yet, but I was more encouraged by what the Knicks did in that game one, especially with that run, which to me just kind of, you felt that they were teetering and waiting for something like that to happen. And the defense then led to it. The offense was flowing. They're just, the Knicks, here's the bottom line with round one. The Knicks are too much for the Pistons. I believe the Knicks are too much for the Pistons, which is why I'm not concerned. 888-808-1019, the number to call. Back to the phones. David is calling from Rockland County. What's up, David?
Hey, Sal. How we doing?
How are you, David?
I'm doing great. I'm actually going to the Garden tonight for game two.
Yes. Good look at you, man. Good for you. Enjoy it.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So, first of all, you know, I think Knicks in four, maybe Knicks in five, you know, that might slip up in game four. You know, Tom Thibodeau might just, like, decide to take out. You never know with Tom Thibodeau, you know. But I'm really calling, you know. I heard you talking before about Juan Soto, and it got me going because, you know, I'm saying Juan Soto plays to his fullest potential. I'm seeing the Mets right now. They're scrapping off wins against of the bottom teams in the league. They're winning the Cardinals. They're winning the Twins. They're beating the Marlins. They're the bottom teams, of the bottom tier teams in the league. And we're trying to call them National League champions, not competing with the Dodgers. I'm saying they haven't proven anything to me yet that even if Juan Soto plays at his fullest potential, these Mets are still going to be able to go and compete with the Dodgers. I'm saying, no? Am I wrong?
Well, I mean, I think it will go a long way to beating the Phillies in this series, and thank you for the call. I do personally think that you're wrong. I think the Mets proved themselves last year as a group. I think they've gotten better this year. It's early. I don't know who you're saying. I mean, maybe you're paying too much attention to social media. I wouldn't pay any attention to that myself. But I don't know where you're getting the fact that people have said the Mets are going to be the National League champs. I mean, they've been playing great. They've had a great start. I could certainly understand the argument about are the Mets more of a product in their schedule. I think that I look at this team and I watch them play, and even when they were good for years, they'd struggle against bad teams. So I don't think it's a product of their schedule. I think it was important for this team to get off to a good start. The pitching, to me, is what really has been the eye-opener. I mean, the Mets are shutting everybody down. Starters, bullpen arms, it's remarkable what the Mets have been able to do with their pitching. That's where it all comes from, because the offense is slowly getting there, but it's not where we expected it to be. Pete Alonso has been playing on another planet. We know that from game one this season. You know, Vientos has struggled. Lindor is playing well now, but his numbers aren't where they need to be. Certainly Soto nowhere near where you expect him to be. Beatty's giving you nothing. The bottom of the order, you know, the catching spot. Yeah, Torrens is okay. Senga, I like those guys, but I'm not talking about offensive powerhouses. Tyrone Taylor finally starting to hit a little bit now. And Brandon Nimmo has done minimal, you know, offensively as well. I know he had a base hit yesterday, but again, no, who outside of Alonso is fulfilling full potential on the Mets right now? Now, Alonso's far exceeding the potential. Who else is fulfilling it? Lindor has been better. I think he's just getting going. Soto's been nowhere close to where he needs to go. So I would answer it by saying this. A, it's early. B, the Mets were expected to compete with the top teams in the National League, and they are. C, they're going to get better. Now, maybe they lose a little bit in pitching, although you think about the guys that they have coming back, that should alleviate any concerns maybe or any. Let's say that Clay Holmes or, I don't know, pick a starter, Griffin Canning, starts to come back down to earth a little bit, or the bullpen arms start to bend a little bit, and they give some of these games up. You would think that that would be offset by Juan Soto being Juan Soto, by Alvarez coming back and maybe uplifting the offensive catcher spot, Nimmo being a little bit better, and or Manaea coming back, potentially Frankie Montas coming back, even though I don't love Montas. I mean, I don't love Montas, but if the Mets could turn Griffin Canning into a serviceable arm, imagine what they could do with Montas. He might be pitching for the Cy Young. Hector is in Washington Heights. What's up, Heck?
Frankie Montas for the Cy Young. I just say real quick, Sal, the Knicks could beat Detroit, whatever. I won't be impressed. They have to do a lot more than that to impress me. I know some people wonder, oh, you got to give them time. They just made all these moves. I don't want to hear none of that nonsense. We were building towards something. They decided to take this path, go out there and handle business.
But they did. They won game one. What more do you want them to do?
No, of course. They won game one. That's cool. But I'm saying I'm not impressed. What did you just say a second ago? They're way heads in water above Detroit. They're supposed to handle Detroit. So go do it. I'm not impressed. Not impressed. After the way the season is gone, they have to do a lot more to impress me. Like, I'm over the whole, oh, they won 50 games, everything we've been through, the 20-odd years, on and whatever.
Mm-hmm. But, I get it. Look, their season, to your point, Hector, their season really is not going to begin for real until the second round. That's where it's, okay, now it's go time. Now let's see what you're really made of. But there were people concerned about the Knicks going into game, going into this round against the Pistons, the first round. So then you're one of them. So how could you not be impressed? If you doubted them going into the first round and then they win game one the way that they did, you're still doubting them?
I'm not doubting them. Go handle your business. Yeah. Do what you're supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do. But what now? What do you want to go out there and watch this finishing? You want to go boo Juan Soto? Is that what you want to go out there for? You want to ruin the great atmosphere that we're enjoying at Citi Field? What was this about, man?
No, I'd like to enjoy it. I mean, I like to go to the ballpark. And look, I said I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday. I forget the day that I said. It was after. Yeah, it was Thursday. After Soto went 0-5 in Minnesota. That's where I said that I would boo me personally, my anger and frustration toward him at this point, being totally disappointed in what he's done, I would have booed him. And I'm not even a big booer. And just to me, that.
But do you think that would have been merited, those sounds?
Like, I know for me, it's for me, yeah.
Listen, I called the week earlier and I was frustrated that he wasn't doing anything. I mean, the
okay.
We had to owe him a skill, and you laughed.
So then we agree.
But I wouldn't boo him, and I've been to. What, how many games has it been? 10 games at home. I've been to 9 games. The thought of booing him has never run my mind. I was actually there yesterday before he has a double, and I got a Spanish gentleman, either Dominican or Puerto Rican, one of the two. I don't know. And he's telling me how much Juan Soto sucks, and he isn't worth the money. And I'm like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, I understand.
Well, there's a big, but there's a big difference between what I was saying and that. And I've never said that once. And also the reason why I personally, and again, I'm not a big booer, I had the highest of expectations. And you and I have talked about this. We've texted about this. Both of us were shocked that Soto got off to the start, correct?
Absolutely. Okay. Disappointed. I thought he was going to come up with no adjustment in New York.
Understood. Me too. So now let me further it. You know how much I love him. You know how much I believed in him. The reason why he would have led me to booing, at least in that short term, remember, this was coming off maybe his worst game, the 0-5, the double play, bases loaded, all that stuff. The one reason why it crossed my mind is, A, I was frustrated. B, I want to get him going. C, I believe he can take it. If anybody is out there that I believe can take the booing and respond to it, it's Soto.
I can understand a groan. Even I groaned a little bit after a few hours, me being in the building.
All right.
But to go out and boo. But real quick, before you hang up on me, because you're quick trigger style now.
Oh, you've got like 3 minutes, so you're reaching your, you're on overtime.
I deserve it. Listen, I was woken up by my friends telling me, why is your boy Sal airing you out? Listen. I was having a little fun. You talk about we text. I go in there. I got to pay, I don't know how much for these damn surf sites.
How good was it?
I'm like, hey, it was pretty damn good. But you talk about you have crates in the garage and all this stuff.
Next,
how about you throw your buddy in?
Next one's on me. Hey, next one's on me, I promise. I got a case for you sitting at home, Hector. No problem. No problem. You ask, I deliver. I'm a man of the people. Surf sites on me. I mean, it'd be nice if Soto hit a home run, then really I'd be saying Surfside's on me at the ballpark. But yes, Hector texted me a picture yesterday and saying Surfside, all this stuff. Nice to see them at Citi Field. Maybe that's enhancing the experience at Citi Field. I'm sure it is. Part of why everybody's getting fired up. Matter of fact, I tried to get a little bet with Clem here, who last time dropped the pallets off because the Knicks beat the Sixers in the first round. Maybe we get a little Mets-Phillies bet going on. But I haven't heard from him. And you know what that means. Maybe he's a little worried. Philly fans have been knocked down a little bit. No Sixers in the postseason. I know they had the Super Bowl with the Eagles, but we don't talk about football around here as it pertains to Philadelphia. Phillies, you're next. Mets eliminated them last year. Now it's about the division. And that is, all kidding aside, that is what makes this series, again, I don't want to say of, you know, look, it's huge relative to where we are in the season. But the thought coming in was that, yeah, the Mets are going to be a good team, but most people had them behind the Braves and Phillies in the NL East. And the way that the season has started, I don't think you could say that comfortably right now at all. Even if you expect the Braves to come back to life, which you'd have to expect that because that's what they do, it's a different feel. You feel differently now about the landscape of the National League East than you did coming into the season. And if the Mets can win this series and show that, you know, they can compete with the Phillies head-to-head in the regular season at a high level, it's going to feel even better. If they don't, maybe doubt starts to creep back in. I can already tell you what the storylines are going to be. If the Mets lose this series where they're 9-1 at home and they happen to lose this series to the Phillies, it's going to be, all right, well, are the Mets more of a product of their schedule? Are they going to have an issue against good teams? Right or wrong, that's going to be the conversation. It would naturally lead you to that point. Naturally. I mean, that's just part of it. BT and Sal on the Fan. Tom is in Wayne, New Jersey. What's up, Tom?
Oh, hey. Thanks for taking my call. First time I've actually never called a sports show, even though I've been listening to Tim for many years.
Appreciate it, Tom. Thank you for taking the time to call. What's up?
Yeah, so you guys were talking about the Aaron Judge call, and the topic came up about gambling and, you know, what the effect of is on gambling. And that's kind of sad that we're at that state where, you know, sports are dictated or at least affected by gambling. You know, like, so, like, if you take that a little further, it's that, like, what's the impact on the scorers? Like, are they trying to be influenced? Are they being pressured? Are they getting threats? I mean, you know, the ball players too. So it's like kind of sad that we've gotten to that point in time that if the gambling, there should be no considerations about gambling at that point, right? It's the game.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if there are or not, Tom. What I was saying is in the back end of it, and thank you for the call. We really do appreciate making the first call. Get back to us. If the decision to overturn a call the next day, like we're talking about now, hypothetically with Aaron Judge, the reversal of that home run or non-home run, what would the impact be? You'd be foolish to not think, at least in part, of the gamblers. Hoff cleared it up before a little bit where we've seen this with official scorers making changes and bets can be either paid out or if you were paid out wrongfully, it could be debited from your account. With this, it's a little different in that this was not a decision based on an official score. But yeah, I mean, when sports teams and leagues and companies get involved with gambling companies, it's going to tie everything together. It's the danger in doing that. It's a part of it. I mean, the NBA may be front and center with it because they had referees like Tim Donaghy on the take. I mean, that was a fact. The guy was shaving points or reffing games because of, you know, officiating games with gambling in mind. I mean, how can you do that? If you don't have integrity in sport, you have nothing. And that was kind of my point to start the show. In case you missed anything, check it out on the Free Odyssey app. Where yesterday's circumstances, whether it be the late change, you know, the couple innings later change in official scoring, or a clear home run on replay that we all could see that was not overturned. To me, that questions the integrity of the sport. And without that, we have nothing. Your calls on the Knicks, Jets, Yankees, Mets, really whatever else. You want to talk about WrestleMania? You want to talk about life? Like, did you have a good Easter weekend? I know it's a lot with the family. You know what I mean? I'm there with you. You want to vent to me? I'm here for you. Whatever's on your mind, BT and Sal on the Fan.
Meetings, errands, screaming kids. All while scrolling box scores. We get it. And we got you. New York Sports. No filter. The Fan. 101.9 FM and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I'm Michael Jenkins here to help you beat the books with the BetMGM Network. A crucial series gets going tonight in the NL East, and I'm eyeing the home team in game number one. The Mets host the Phillies tonight in the Big Apple, and they have the pitching advantage with Tyler McGill and his sub-2 ERA over the struggling Aaron Nola. The Mets have also been a blistering 9-1 at home this season, and at minus 120, they are today's play. I'm Michael Jenkins from the BetMGM Network. Bet smarter and beat the books and download the BetMGM app today. Please gamble responsibly.
All right, when it comes to getting life insurance for your family, a lot of excuses can get in the way. But ask yourself this. If something were to happen to me, who would pay the mortgage, the kids' education, and the other bills? Then forget the excuses and check out Ethos Life, the online easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Ethos has rates that you can afford, like a $500,000 policy for a 40-year-old male starting at $1 a day or $30 a month with a few health questions and no medical exam. Get your free quote right now at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Rates do vary.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids. No matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6812. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call
800-575-6812. That's 800-575-6812.
Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
A great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. And that's where True Green comes in. They are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, so they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. Here is the best part. It's more affordable than you think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. You're not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. So don't wait. Head to TrueGreen.com today and let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.
You want to get the most for your money? That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Lease the new 2025 Mazda CX-30 all-wheel drive, only $209 a month, or buy and get 0.9 APR financing for 36 months. Start shopping now at RamseyMazda.com. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 833-853-2974. Details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN number SM813320. MSRP 26490. Ends 43025.
Looking for a loyal companion? Join us in support of Rescue Paw Foundation for an afternoon of pet adoption on April 27th from 12 to 4 p.m. rain or shine at Garvey's Point Dog Park in Glen Cove. Meet adorable pets eager to find their forever homes, enjoy family-friendly activities, and give a furry friend the loving home they deserve.
FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props, and now you can make a heads-up play with player performance trends. That means whether you want to bet on a player to score 30 points or put up a triple-double, you can check out the latest stats and see who's hot without leaving the app. Also, after the game tips off, you can even combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to juice those odds and win bigger. If you don't already have FanDuel, playoff time is the perfect time to hop in and join. You'll get started with $250 back in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So visit FanDuel.com/BT and join today. We love the app right here. It is safe and secure, and when you win, you get paid right away. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel, the official partner of WFAN. 21 plus and physically present in New York. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. And for help with a gambling problem, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
Staying hydrated is key to feeling your best. Introducing Terra Origin Healthy Hydration Plus. Packed with essential electrolytes that help maintain fluid balance, supports muscles, and keeps you energized all day long. Terra Origin Healthy Hydration Plus also promotes detoxification, supports liver health, and helps you recover faster after exercise or a long night out. Replenish nutrients, boost your mood, and stay sharp no matter what life throws at you. Visit TerraOrigin.com today to start living your best life. Terra Origin. Feel light and live energized.
Seems like yesterday Jaden was learning to walk, and now he's off to college?
Yeah, with the goal of becoming a podiatrist, no less.
And who's gonna foot that bill?
Oh, that's the easy part. We got a home equity line of credit from Suffolk Credit Union.
Use your home to help them leave it. Learn more at suffolkcu.org. Membership is open to anyone on Long Island. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing lender.
Town Fair Tire became New England's number one discount tire dealer by giving you the absolute lowest prices guaranteed. And with over 100 stores from Connecticut to Maine, we'll beat anybody's price. Other dealers, we beat them. Warehouse clubs, we beat them. Online sites, we beat them all every day. So remember, for the absolute guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Name brands at discount prices. Town Fair Tire.
Get connected with WFAN to talk about your favorite teams. The Fan, always live on the free Odyssey app.
The number to call. Been fun venting about replay and all that stuff as it pertains to the Yankees on the field, though. You know, the Yankees, the thing I like about them most is that they've shown a better balance than what we saw a year ago. This was the design. When BT and I have had this conversation in the offseason, you know, we were arguing about can they be better without Soto, and I still don't think that they are better necessarily without Soto, but they're different, and maybe the different could end up being better, but they play better brand of baseball. That was the thought, and it didn't start out that way. The Yankees, a lot of swing and miss in that lineup. Still a lot of all-or-nothing guys, but starting to look a little bit better, whether it's defensively, Trent Grisham, who's not going to be with the team. He is out on, parental leave. Is that what it's called? Paternity leave. Yeah, there you go. Paternity leave. Thank you, Hav. Trent Grisham, who's been... Trent Grisham. And you can't be any better than this guy. Now, we saw that back in the postseason in 2022 as a member of the Padres against the Mets. Matter of fact, I think I had this conversation with Terry Collins a year ago after the Yankees acquired Grisham, along with Soto, whatever that deal. And he was talking about how he loved Grisham. Either way, there was a lot of expectation for Grisham. And for whatever reason, he was awful last year. And it wasn't just at the plate. He just looked lackadaisical at times in the outfield. But he has been a huge part of the Yankees' success. I mean, think about what we're talking about with the Yankees' success this year. Yes, Fried has been great. Another strong performance from him yesterday. He has been worth every single penny. If I were going to invest in a big starting pitcher, this past offseason, Fried would have been it. I didn't want any part of Corbin Burns. I would not also subscribe to that philosophy in spending in high-end pitching, but if there were one, it would have been Max Fried. But how about the other acquisitions that we all thought, okay, well, they're getting Fried, Devin Williams, Bellinger, you know, all these acquisitions that the Yankees made in replace of Juan Soto. And Bellinger hasn't been very good. I know the home run yesterday. Now, he's been good defensively, but that's not why he was brought here. He was brought here in part to be a better, an upgrade in the outfield, which he certainly has been. But offensively, he's been near zero. And, he's got to produce. He was supposed to be one of the bats to help soften the blow of losing Juan Soto. And that has not happened yet. Williams has not been the player that the Yankees thought that they were getting when they made that move. So how have the Yankees been better this year? Well, I mean, it's been Trent Grisham. It's been Ben Rice. Now, Goldschmidt was another one that, like Fried, he has come in and he's actually exceeded expectations. Fried has lived up to the expectations. Paul Goldschmidt, I think, has exceeded the expectations. I don't know how anybody outside of the Yankees themselves, and we know the Yankees were very high on him. It's not just that they brought him in, that's obvious, but they were high on him for many reasons, thinking he'd be a solid veteran for him, good both defensively and offensively, but also, with the first half of last season, who knows? And a player at his age, who knows? Yankees were also high on Anthony Rizzo, and that didn't work out too well. So these things could go either way, but all the pieces that they brought in, it's not like every single one of them have been clicking. So while we talk about the Mets and the potential that they could get better with Juan Soto living up to the expectations, maybe with getting Sean Manaea back, the Yankees also have room to grow, whether it's Luis Gil down the road coming back, enhancing that starting rotation, whether it is Dominguez furthering his development and becoming more of an impact player, certainly offensively, whether it is Bellinger finding his rhythm. I mean, Jazz has been good defensively, exciting on the base paths, but a little too all or nothing at the plate for my liking. The strikeouts got to go, or at least got to be minimized. Volpe has been atrocious at the plate for the most part. That's, something that's got to be corrected here. And I don't even want to bring up DJ LeMahieu when he comes back, but at least you're getting some good offense from Oswaldo Cabrera at third base. Would you rather trade off and have DJ and be more sound defensively there and maybe hope to get some of that offense? So there's ways to do it, different ways to do it here with the Yankees, but they can also improve upon their start, which has been very good. A little inconsistent. The results, not inconsistent, but the performances have been inconsistent. But the Yankees have played much better brand of baseball, starting with that Royals series and now on through the Rays series, and to a point where they're leading the American League East. You know, Boston been a little slow out of the gate. All right, 13-11 there. Toronto, I don't think the Toronto is going to be very good throughout the course of the year. They're playing okay right now. Baltimore, terribly disappointing, especially off of last year again. And, you know, we saw what the Yankees could do against the Tigers, and that wasn't very pretty when they played Detroit in the cold. It's going to be an interesting early season measurement, although I personally don't take any AL Central team seriously. Should I? How can you? This is the Yankees we're talking about. You know, it's not the Mariners or the Angels. The Yankees and the AL Central. I mean, the Yankees own the American League Central. So maybe I'd be mildly concerned about Detroit. Kansas City off to a rough start. We saw them firsthand. Cleveland is off to a good start. They're right there with Detroit. They're just 12-9. So maybe this will be an interesting series here to see where the Yankees are at against a higher caliber team than maybe the Rays or even the Royals that we saw. But the Yankees playing a much better brand of baseball, and it's becoming more refreshing to watch. Yeah, the home runs are good, but I like watching good baseball myself. With the Mets, the reasons why I think what the Mets are doing is more, I don't know if I want to say legitimate or more consistent, but the foundation for the Mets is all about the pitching. That's how it was supposed to be with the Yankees, but even that with the Yankees, especially after the Cole injury and heel injury, it's volatile. Max Fried is the one constant. The others you don't trust as much. Even Rodon, who's giving you some length, he still hasn't been good. The Mets, on paper, you feel like you don't know how they're doing it, but they continue to do it. Every game, these guys go out there and are putting up zeros five, six innings in, and then the bullpen does their job. And when the bullpen doesn't do their job on the rare off night that the bullpen has, the bats come to life late in these games, especially at home. So I feel like the Mets have a solid foundation in place to where everything goes off of the pitching. Now, if that were to all of a sudden crumble, kind of out of nowhere, I don't know if you could expect it to crumble. Could it hit some rough patches? Sure, but why would you believe that Kodai Senga long-term would crumble? I don't think Senga's an ace, but he's pitched like that when he's healthy. He did it a couple years ago, and he's doing it again now in the short term. Clay Holmes, you know what he is. All right, he's not going to give you great length, but he's going to be very good through five, maybe a little more than five, maybe six on a good day, but he's going to keep you in the game. All right, could Canning crumble? Maybe. Peterson, Tyler McGill, maybe McGill more likely to crumble than Peterson, but these guys can be solid and give you a chance, and I think this is all by design with the Mets, give you a chance to win or be in these ball games, give you a chance to be in the ball game and win a ball game later with the offense, and you're just waiting for the offense to pick it up. So oddly enough, right now, you would say that the Yankees have been the better offensive team. The Mets have been the better team pitching-wise. I mean, the Mets have been the best team in baseball, I think, pitching-wise. When you look at the runs allowed, the Mets have allowed 61 runs, which is the fewest in Major League Baseball. The Yankees, in contrast, allowed 96 runs. The Padres are second with 62 runs allowed. But the Mets, as far as the runs scored, not as high. They're only at 91 runs scored, whereas the Yankees, in contrast, 126 runs scored. Remarkable. Just like we all thought. Because, of course, coming into the season, it was all, well, the Mets are going to hit. We know that. Are they going to be able to pitch? And with the Yankees, it was, well, we know they're going to be able to pitch, but are they going to be able to hit? And, of course, through the first 20-some-odd games here, it's been the exact opposite of that. So which one do you think is more sustainable? And I do think, while I don't expect it to continue at the best in baseball clip that the Mets have had, but I do think that the Mets pitching is going to be much better than we thought, just like it was a year ago. That's now been the constant. It's not like it was last year coming out of nowhere. Now it's a second year with the same results when you don't have any expectations, the same results that you're seeing, you know, in year two, in year one, that you saw in year one under Stearns. With the Yankees, you do feel like they're going to get better offensively, but it's relying on guys who have been inconsistent. It's not like Judge has another level. Aaron Judge has been as good as Aaron Judge could possibly be. So the unknowns of Dominguez, the unknowns of Volpe, the inconsistency. No, Austin Wells, same thing. He's a little slow start. I know he homered yesterday. Get that home run tally up. I need him to go over 17.5 to beat BT in those over-unders. But the young guys are the unknowns, and there's some inconsistency there. You just are unsure if they're going to be able to live up to the expectation. Bellinger would be the one who's really got room to grow that has the proven track record. The problem is his track record is also one of an inconsistent nature. So what Cody Bellinger will we see? And then, of course, when you really start fast-forwarding this thing, what's going to be, you know, how's the postseason going to look? We assume both the Mets and Yankees are going to be there. We assume this before the year. This is not an overreaction to the first 22 games. You know, we assume both those teams are going to be there in the postseason and the start that they've gotten off to. Maybe the next step is just against the quality division opponents and the better pitching teams, how these teams stack up. So it'll be fun to see the Yankees in Cleveland tonight. And obviously the Mets at home, where they've been 9-1 through the first 10 games, take it on the Phillies, should be an electric atmosphere. I wish I could go tonight. I cannot. Obviously, I want to watch the Knicks game, too. I want to go home and watch the Knicks, make sure that that's on game two. But it'd be fun. Hoff, are you going out there at all this week, Mets-Phillies? You and Evan, maybe? I know you got invited late last week. You going to go see Mets-Phillies at all?
I'm not going to go this weekend. This week, I don't think. I have a lot going on.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if Evan invites me last minute, tomorrow I could go, depending on the seat location, of course, because they are playing a caliber opponent. These are big games. But no, Tuesday night at Citi Field, I wish I could go to the afternoon game. We can't. We'll be on up against that, and then I got to go to SNY afterward. But it's going to be an electric atmosphere out there and just an early season fun test to see where they stack up with the reigning NL East champs, and something that maybe many Met fans either didn't care about. Oh, who cares about winning the division? Just get in the postseason. That's all we heard. Just get in the postseason. Just get in the postseason. Look what happened. And I was one of them, too. Like, does it really matter? But yeah, it does. Winning the division would be nice. Having a bye would be even nicer. So is that something that can be a possibility for the Mets? I think it's important that they keep it going on. Remember, Phillies won 7 of 13 in the regular season versus the Mets last year. So the dominance in the regular season obviously didn't mean anything when it came to the postseason, and the Mets weren't themselves, you know, all those times that they played the Phillies. But that dominance, it felt one-sided. Didn't mean anything come October, which is why we know that there is a minimizing of the regular season. But still, I think it's important that the Mets send an early season message in the regular season. You're saying, we are a team that is going to legitimately contend to win the NL East. We care about the division. We want to go win the division. Go out there and, you know, look, if the Mets ever swept, I mean, it'd have a nice 5-game cushion over the Phillies. Or at least just take 2 out of 3. Take the series, continue playing well at home, keep that momentum going. Otherwise, maybe the doubts start to creep in of just how legitimate the Mets' early season success is if they were to lose this series to the Phillies.
What are the odds you think of Evan offering you tickets to Phillies?
No, none, because it's going to be, I'm sure he's going to want to go to all three of these games, or at least sell them.
That's correct.
Yeah,
he's offering you tickets on one condition.
He can't sell them.
Correct.
I understood. No, I get it. I mean, I appreciate the nice gesture, but it's not like he's looking to go to a game with me. He's looking to, I couldn't get rid of these tickets. Let me pretend to be a nice guy. And regardless of the opponent, regardless of where the seat location is, couldn't sell them, here's these tickets. I think Evan's going to be in the ballpark. I would bet for at least 2 of the 3. I guess he can't go Wednesday because of the afternoon game. You know, assuming he actually does want to show up for work this time. BT and Sal on the fan. But I could go on my own if I wanted to. I want to watch the Knicks tonight. Yeah, I got some stuff going on at home. What's the weather supposed to be like? You have that? Are we looking at decent weather for tomorrow? Today is wild. Today's in the 50s. Let me look it up tomorrow, because today's in the 50s. It's, tomorrow night. Look, crowds are going to go out there regardless. You know, today, a high of 57, I believe. Oh, a little rain tomorrow, but a high of 76. Low of 53. This weather report brought to you by nobody. The weather shouldn't be an issue for tomorrow. Still, for me, it's, Knicks postseason, got to focus on that and obviously work. Otherwise, if this were a weekend series, 100% I'd be looking to go out there. How could you not? If you're a Met fan, even if you're not, you're just a baseball fan, wouldn't you want to be part of what's going on right there? The energy, the excitement. It's playoff-like atmosphere in April. And against the hated Phillies? I wonder how many Philly fans are going to travel.
Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Charles is in Allenhurst, New Jersey. What's up, Charles?
How do these guys, when everyone can see it from home from their TV, that have 70 screens around them in a replay center, still manage to mess up the calls all the time? It's ridiculous.
Eric is in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
I'm watching this on my television at home. Like, I can clearly see that it's a fair ball. So the first question that I have is, do these guys have a different view than I'm seeing? Because clearly this is a home run.
Mike is in Flatbush talking about the Aaron Judge incident yesterday. What's up, Mike?
Cody Bellinger said it's the farthest ball that he's ever seen hit.
John is in Bayonne. What's up, Johnny?
The umpire at third base blew that call. Now, if he would have called it fair and Tampa, or they had to challenge it anyway, then it would have never been overruled. Am I right?
I would love to know if I'm Boone or whoever else or Judge, hey, how did you come up with that call? Take me through it. Here's the replay. This is what we saw. You see the trees out there? Here's the foul pole. There's the wall. Okay, just so we're on the same page, everybody. This is me as Boone or Judge talking to the umps. This is the wall. That's the foul pole. What are those over there? Those are trees. They're way in the outfield. But as you can see, based on where the foul pole is, that would be fair territory. So again, I ask you, how is this ball foul? Who came to this conclusion? How? How is that possible? Makes no sense. And the Yankees still have not gotten an explanation. They will, I would assume, at some point today. But and even, you know, whatever the explanation is, it's not going to justify the wrong. I just don't understand. There is no explanation for it. You have replay. You want to use replay. You want to watch replay, use it to get the calls right. You use it, you see that it should have been a home run, and yet they still did not overturn the call. As Boone said, the audacity to not overturn that call is remarkable, and I couldn't have said it better myself. 888-808-1019, the number of call. We've been talking about that all day, a little bit with the Mets and Phils. Looking forward to that series tonight. BT and I will react to everything tomorrow, of course. Game two at the world's most famous arena with the Knicks. I'm more encouraged based on what I've seen from the Knicks. Really, I mean, look, it doesn't have to be just game one, but all year long with their talent and their potential, and then in game one to see it come to fruition, even if just for the fourth quarter, still, I mean, we're now going to nitpick wins. I mean, we're supposed to be discouraged because the Knicks won game one of the playoffs. You want to worry about the Celtics? Fair enough. You want to worry about the Cavs or the Thunder? Understood. But you're going to worry about the Knicks in round one after a win? Oh, were you more discouraged because they won barely and they had to go on that incredible run? No, I'm not. I'm going to give them credit for winning the game, getting behind the crowd, changing the pace of play, the energy, all those different things, coming up with big stops, leading to the offense. I thought Bridges played a solid game. Anunoby was terrific. Towns, Brunson, Hart, campaign, obviously. Knicks had a lot. All of a sudden, now I don't need to see Landry Shamet for 10 minutes, but I'd like to see more Mitchell Robinson myself, but I'm fine with the Knicks. The one guy that worries me from Detroit is Malik Beasley. He's a stud. He's got that it factor that would scare me in a postseason series, but I mean, come on, what are we talking about? Obviously, the Pistons are pretty good. They're in the postseason. They're going to have some good players. So between Cunningham Beasley, Tobias Harris doesn't worry me. I don't think he's going to keep that going. I fully expect the Knicks to go out there and maybe have, from start to finish, the type of game that's going to make everybody satisfied for game two. It's not good enough to win, but you got to go from start to finish of the game. Before we finish up here on the phones, 888-808-1019, I mentioned this a little bit before with CeeLo when he was in doing the update. I think it was at noon, as it pertains to the Rangers. You know, the Rangers, they're having their, what is it called, goodbye day or whatever, their, clear out the locker day. And, you know, to a man, you know, Chris Kreider saying, this is where I want to be, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's great. And Shesterkin saying something broke in the middle of the season and we just weren't able to fix it. Yeah, and what generally happens? Like, when we talk about the Knicks and their arc and their timeline, the next move for the Knicks, if they fall short, whether it be in round one or round two or next season, the next move for them is to change the coach. They haven't even done that yet. This is still their building toward being a championship caliber team. We believe they have the talent, but they haven't made that move yet to where they've had to, okay, we have the talent, we haven't maximized our talent, let's change the head coach to see if that works. Well, the Rangers are far beyond that point. They've changed the head coach multiple times, and it hasn't been good enough. There's only one thing left to do. When you change the coach multiple times and it doesn't work and you regress, when you go from winning the President's Trophy to not making the postseason, there's one move left to make, and that is to get rid of the players. And if you can't get rid of the players, I don't know why you would expect anything to change. I'm actually not in favor of firing Drury at this point. I would like to see Chris Drury. Now, I never liked him as a Ranger, and I understand those who want Drury out. I still believe in, you know, at my core, I believe Drury at his core knows how to build a championship team. Problem is, I don't see a way out of this current mess because he's locked these guys up to a point where he can't move them. That's what happened with Trouba. He knew the right thing to do was to move Jacob Trouba. Trouba didn't want to go. So Drury became the bad guy, and maybe that fractured the locker room beyond repair. Well, how's it going to go when you got to try to get the soft Artemi Panarin out of here? Or Mika Zibanejad, the inconsistent Mika Zibanejad? Or Chris Kreider, same thing. Who's going to, what has happened to Adam Fox? Who's going to make him a good player? Which is why I went back to the Tortorella thing. I was kind of joking before, but one of the reasons why I would consider it is because you know what you're getting with Tortorella. He's going to be a no-nonsense, hard-nosed guy, and he's going to demand these players play hard. And if they don't, maybe they're going to be, maybe they'll be more open to accepting a trade elsewhere because they don't want to play for Torts. And at the very least, it'll accomplish getting some of these contracts out of here who otherwise are stuck. BT and Sal on the Fan. Peter is in Lindenhurst. What's up, Peter? What do you want to talk about, the Yanks?
Yes. So I have a way to fix Devin Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to shave. Once he shaves, he will revert back to his dominant ways. The baseball gods are upset that he's got the beard going. And once he shaves, he will turn it around.
Interesting. Do you think this has to do with the Yankees' policy? Should the Yankees reverse their policy?
I love the Yankees' policy.
Okay.
Of the no facial hair. I love it.
Oh, so you do want to reverse it. You want to go back to the old ways.
I do. And I think that if he shaves, he'll turn it around, and it'll be good karma, and he will be sailing, and he'll be off.
You know,
and he'll be close.
Sorry, Peter. It is interesting, and thank you for the call. It is interesting that Williams was front and center when that rule change was made about trying to make him comfortable, and you want players to be comfortable and be themselves and have a beard, this and that. And, of course, Williams may be the most prominent Yankee to struggle out of the gate. Whereas if you look at the most disappointing players in this town, expectations versus results, Williams is right there, probably side by side with Juan Soto. The expectations for Soto through the roof. The performance, not so much. Devin Williams' expectations, best closer in the game. Results, not so much. Maybe he should change it up. I mean, you would do that anyway, right? If you were struggling, you'd look to change something up, wear the stirrups higher, maybe go, different color socks,